My guest at this time is Michigan Republican Congressman and Republican presidential candidate Thaddeus McCotter. He represents the Great Lakes State's 11th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts on a number of issues, including the latest jobs numbers, the state of the Republican presidential race, and much more. And Congressman, it's great to have you with us again.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
The number, of course, on Friday was zero net jobs created in August, which was below even the relatively meager expectations. Upon seeing those numbers, you issued the following statement. This latest jobs report again proves that unlike President Obama and the GOP candidates who are unable or unwilling to understand the central problem in our economy, my economic growth plan is the one that will end this period of debt deflation and stagnation by fundamentally restructuring big government into citizen government and recapitalizing the failed Wall Street bailout banks through free market forces. What is it specifically about your plan that is different than your Republican rivals and you believe would be surefire to jumpstart this job creation process?
Well, first of all, they're not talking about the credit contraction due to the failed Wall Street bailout, which many of them supported, including President Obama, that's resulted in, again, the greatest credit contraction since the Great Depression. As we saw Mr. Bernanke and others mention at Jackson Hole, what we're seeing is a debt overhang, a deflationary period, where the large centralized banks and the housing market are the two biggest drains on the economy. And what happens concomitantly, Greg, is that then when they try to bail out the bondholders and shareholders, they increase the sovereign debt, which becomes another anchor on the economy. So they're not addressing the central issue. It's not Keynesian. It's not monetarist. It's a debt deflationary period.
And so what would you as president do to help businesses get access to that credit, even though the TARP, in your opinion, was a failure?
Well, it's not my opinion. The credit contraction shows it. The banks, thanks to Mr. Bernanke and others, have been allowed to go on without a period where they have an incentive to loan money, so they don't. What you have to do is speed up the recapitalization process. They can do that through new equity brought in, most likely largely through debt for equity swaps with existing bonded shareholders. You have to keep their leverage limits so they never implode again. The segmentation of foreign subsidiaries, so they're subject to U.S. law. And in terms of dealing with the housing market, people who are underwater, we have to make sure that the federal government ensures that if individual banks and individual lenders decide to renegotiate the terms of their contracts or renegotiate what the valuation on the asset is that they aren't then required, especially the small community banks, to have to write that on their books and raise new capital. Because, as you know, the large problem that people are facing is even when there are foreclosures, the value of the home property is down. The banks lose at least 30% off the top, and you wind up in a situation where free market ways of dealing with this are precluded by the federal regulation as to what the balance sheets have to look like.
To what extent do you expect the president to address any of that next Thursday, and what else would you like to hear from him as well?
Well, I'd like to hear the president realize that the more taxes and the more spending and bigger government isn't going to work. It's just going to add to the sovereign debt problem that we have, which, again, is one of the two anchors on the economy. So we'll see what he comes up with. I know he's taking his time to do it.
Of course, the president's speech briefly conflicted with the Republican presidential debate out at the Reagan Library. You've had your own issues with the debate because, for some reason, this debate and the one in Iowa decided not to invite you, as well as a couple of other candidates, even though you are obviously a duly elected member of Congress and officially in this race. What reasons have they given you, and what has been your response to them?
Well, they really don't. Fox Criteria, we believe we met. They rejected our data, and then a day after they rejected it and ruled me out, their own internal polling showed that I was at 1% with people who'd be on the stage. Now we're seeing NBC's criteria is 4% in one of eight random polls that they've chosen. I highly doubt it was random. And so what happens is we see in Quinnipiac that I'm tied with people who will be on the stage. I'm within percentage points of people who will be on the stage. But they've decided that only two of the polls, by the way, Greg, was I listed on. So a 25% chance. So they've just decided not to answer AP's question as to why. So I'm from Detroit. We put our nose to the grindstone. We move on. I will say that it shows quite a bit when it was a late entry into the race. And you have people who have been running for a year or more that are within striking distance or tied with me after spending a lot more money and a lot more time on the debate stage or on the national press.
What is your strategy for basically not having the type of media attention that others are getting as a result of debates and others? I know you're having a very active schedule in some of the early primary and caucus states, but how do you compete with the attention that others are getting?
Well, it's a free press. They have that right under the First Amendment. So what you have to do is continue to work, meet the voters in the caucus state of Iowa, meet the voters in the primary state of New Hampshire. They're very willing to meet and listen to you. And that's where we're going to continue to take the message. Because, again, we must be doing something if we're tied with people who've been doing a whole lot more of the media circuit at the national level or spent more money or received far more hype.
And in addition to that, you also polled quite well in a recent straw poll in New Hampshire, I believe finishing third. What did that tell you about the type of impact you're making, even though you've only been in the race a few weeks here?
Well, I think it shows people are receptive to the message. And I think that this just shows that we have to continue to work hard and try to push up and get into those debates.
There's obviously a lot of folks in this field right now. In addition to what you say is an economic plan that is different from all the others, how do you expect to distinguish yourself policy-wise from the rest of them?
Well, we already started right off the bat. We're having to restructure, recapitalize the big banks. If you don't address that, you're going to wind up with a period of stagnation like Japan. I've also long been someone who's sounded the concerns about communist China, their unfair trade practices, their effect on the economy, the security concerns, many of which are, again, being borne out by what you see out of the Pentagon's report about communist China and its security challenges in the United States. These are two things right off the bat that I'm talking about that most of the other ones aren't.
As you move along now, we still have several months to go here in terms of what you believe you bring to the table experience-wise. Obviously, you have a full platform of issues. You have a number of terms in Congress. You've obviously grown up in the shadow of the auto industry and lived most of your life there. In terms of the full package that you're presenting to voters, what seems to be resonating most?
Well, I think they appreciate the fact that they have a comprehensive agenda, an overview of the whole situation facing the country. And coming out of Detroit, having an understanding that America must produce, it must farm, it must manufacture. We can't simply be a consumptive economy. And I also think being Generation X, I think it also shows that we understand how to communicate to young people the changes that are going around them and how government has to mirror it. These are the things that people are very much responding to. And instead of a bumper sticker mentality, what we're seeing is a very in-depth desire by people to go into the issues because they're very concerned about what's happening in the country and they want to see what people have to offer. And again, I have a comprehensive view of it, and I've not seen that out of any of the other ones. And the solutions that are put there, they're able to judge for themselves.
We've talked a little bit about what they've heard from you. You just touched on, for a moment there, what you've heard from them. What are the greatest concerns out there in Iowa and New Hampshire, and is their thought about this upcoming election? How passionate are they about what's going to be happening here?
They're very concerned about the economy. They're very concerned about America's national security. Their hearts and their prayers are out with the brave men and women in uniform who are defending us throughout the world. And so it's going to be an election that is everyone on both sides of the aisle believes are going to have major import on the future of the country for the next generation.
In terms of funding, how are you doing there?
We're doing all right. We're keeping going. And so it's just that's why it's a grassroots campaign. That's the beauty of Iowa and New Hampshire. So as you go, you build momentum. I know it's a novel concept to have a message before you have money. But, Greg, we've seen people who had money and no message already leave the campaign.
Yeah, there's certainly been no shortage of that in this or any other election cycle in recent memory. Congressman, always a pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to checking in with you as we get closer and closer to the real votes in Iowa, New Hampshire.
Thank you, Greg. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Michigan Republican Congressman and Republican presidential candidate Thaddeus McCotter represents Michigan's 11th Congressional District. Find more about the campaign at McCotter2012.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.